The soundtrack from the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou has sold more than 6 million copies. That defies an industry trend that promotes the glamour of Faith Hill over simpler songs from the hills. Yet country music owes everything to its agrarian roots. Continuing the series Honky Tonks, Hymns, and the Blues, Paul Brown explains how some of the deepest roots are entwined with a moral message.
Since the release of the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack, thousands of American music lovers have gone to church without realizing it.
Some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Alison Krauss, Gillian Welch, and a dozen more unplugged musicians have traveled the country as part of the Down from the Mountain tour, performing music from the tradition that inspired the popular film. Bluegrass favorite Ricky Skaggs toured with the group last summer, and he says the audience may have gotten a little bit more than it expected.
The whole Down from the Mountain tour was probably 75 or 80% gospel music, but no one got offended. No one walked away thinking that they'd been preached to.
Skaggs says religious music was just part of everyday life whenever people gathered in his eastern Kentucky hometown of Cordell.
When we'd go to church, somebody would bring a banjo or bring a fiddle or a mandolin or an acoustic guitar. You know, we just didn't sing the secular songs in church, but we did sing church songs in the secular settings, and that was pretty cool. And I loved that, and that made an impression on me as a child.
A Southern child was surrounded by religious influences, says country music historian Bill Malone. Malone examines rural working-class culture in his book Don't Get Above Your Raisin.
There was a time when you couldn't grow up in the rural South without being touched by religion one way or another. You know, it's something you absorbed at home, and you went out, you saw evidence of it everywhere, even if it was nothing more than just a sign by the roadside saying, prepare to meet thy God.
One of the most powerful ways to deliver the word has been through music. Charlie Louvin and his brother Ira were popular gospel performers in the 1950s. Charlie says one of his earliest musical memories was attending all-day gatherings called singings that mixed sacred songs and socializing.
You go in like at 9 o'clock in the morning. They sing till about 11:45, and then they break for dinner. They got a table probably 100 feet long, and everybody eats and talks about who is not here this year, but they've gone on to the great beyond. And they talk and eat for about an hour, and they go back in, and they sing till 4 o'clock.
The music they sang sounded something like this.
In those days came John the Baptist, crazy in the wilderness of Judea, and singing, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
The singers read from hymnals written in shape note style, says Bill Malone.
Instead of using the conventional system that most people knew, they depicted musical notes by their shapes, circles, squares, diamond, rectangle. And so people could just look at the shape of the note and know what its sound was supposed to be.
The shape note method was perfectly suited for an audience with the passion, if not the formal training, to read and sing music. Singing teachers took this simple style all over the South, and thousands of paperback songbooks were produced. The most famous collection of these songs was called The Sacred Harp, first published in the early 1800s. A century later, gospel music publishing was a big business with hundreds of thousands of songbooks sold. Some of the bigger companies hired musicians to perform their latest product on the new medium of radio. Composer Albert Brumley's song, Turn Your Radio On, paid tribute to this trend. And Brumley became one of the most important gospel songwriters with over 800 tunes to his credit. He managed to do something else, says Bill Malone. With songs like I'll Fly Away, the composer reached beyond the gospel audience.
Brumley's songs, of course, moved out of gospel music into country music, too. Merle Haggard often pays tribute to Albert Brumley. So Brumley has a place in both gospel music history and in country music history. because he produced songs that were widely beloved by all entertainers.
Gospel was an important part of country music in the early 1950s when Charlie and Ira Louvin came along with their stark harmonies filled with stories of sin and salvation.
The family who prayed will never be parted. Their circle in heaven unbroken shall stand. God will say it.
The Louvin brothers became gospel stars with the 1952 song, The Family Who Prays. Yet they yearned for a larger, more mainstream audience. Their record company doubted that fans would tolerate a change to popular music. So Charlie Louvin says he and Ira came up with a compromise.
We chose a song we wrote in the late 40s, When I Stopped Dreaming, which would not antagonize anyone, whether they were religious or whether they worked for the devil, you know. And we felt that it wouldn't make our gospel music people mad. And so we tried it and it worked. Thank God it worked.
I'd be like a flower unwanted in spring, alone and neglected, transplanted.
From the mid-50s up through the early 60s, the Louvin brothers enjoyed a string of hits that balanced sacred and secular themes. But friends say Ira Louvin wasn't able to live the kind of life that he preached in his songs. He was given to fits of rage in concerts, sometimes smashing instruments on stage. His drinking caused the brothers to break up in the summer of 1963. 2 years later, Ira Louvin was killed in a car accident. Legend has it that his body was found on its knees, as if in prayer.
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Like the songs of Albert Brumley and the Louvin brothers, the Down from the Mountain performances are leading listeners through the gate of the old country church to hear the music inside. Ricky Skaggs says he's happy to be a modern stealth evangelist, though it hasn't always been easy.
I was always afraid that if I tried to follow Christ's teaching, that I would have to become a minister or I'd have to become a singer in church, that I wouldn't be able to sing Rolling in My Sweet Baby's Arms, or I wouldn't be able to sing Uncle Pen. But that was not the case. And so as a Christian, my heart is not to necessarily go to the church to sing. My heart is to take the church and take the message of that out, to the bluegrass festivals and everywhere else that we go.
In a time of moral complexity, it's a message that seems to be popular. For NPR News, I'm Paul Brown.
I'm waiting at the gate.
Next week, Thomas Dorsey's Gospel. Music samples are at npr.org.
Angel bands are coming.